This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. I've owned Tecovas for years. I love these goddamn boots. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. That's true. I never got blisters from these things. Huge fan. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store today. Have a complimentary drink or two, which I've had, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are always at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. I can promise you that. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Jabes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work. We'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover.
Hangover.
Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay. I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com. Ooh, looking at myself in the mirror, James. And I'm staring back at 2 Game 7s. This is it. What a time to be alive, James. What a fucking time to be alive. Know you're a diehard basketball fan.
Always have been, always will be. You Man. Know that. The world knows it.
We're recording about an hour before tip-off of Game 7 for LeBron. Could be LeBron's last game ever in Cleveland. He's playing at the Boston Yarden. And boy, that is a hot series, 1-2. We got another Game 7 to go to the finals in the Western Conference Finals. And that's Steph Curry and the boys.
Yeah, that little Steph Curry, huh?
Boy, they were down by 17 last night, shot awake, and ended up winning by 30. Spread was 12.5. Why am I bringing up the spread, you ask? Like I'm in Vegas? Because I'm about to be in Vegas. What am I going there for? Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals in the NHL. Holy shit.
Oh, I love a Game 1. when it comes to like playoffs and stuff, you know me. I get juiced for game one. 7, I'm like, wow. Oh, I've watched so many already. You know what I mean? Woo! everybody is going to be down for that.
I love how I'm going to like a bucket list event. I'm going to the Stanley Cup Finals and you just pull down your pants and take a shit all over my dreams.
And why is that?
Why is that, Japes?
Because I shit on everything that I don't get involved, like that, that I'm not invited to. Yeah. Because it's the only way that I can deal with it.
You would have been invited, but you decided to be a loser and have kids. And it was just like, way to go, Jabes.
We all know that those little fuckers ruin everything, don't they? God damn it, I could be at game one.
You know what's funny? We met some listeners out for drinks the other night on Friday night who were in town, Wilmington. We went to our favorite place on the planet, Wilmington Brewery. And had a couple beers, and somebody took a picture of us and then, you know, posted it, right?
Yeah.
And in the post, here's what I found to be hilarious, was somebody underneath it was like, oh, shit, I bet it was crazy. I bet you Ross was like 19 beers deep. And he goes, no, only Ross was actually like one or two beers deep because he was being a dad. And
yeah, that's kid correct. Was there.
Our child was
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And if you're at home wondering to yourself, why did Jesse and Ross take their child into a brewery? It's like an old fashioned brewery. They've got things for kids in there, games and toys and all that stuff. So
what's our favorite brewery in town? And we talk about it all the time.
It is. But I
Wilmington Brew.
In case you roll through and you're like, man, can I bring a kid or a dog there? Yes, you can. They got things for kids and stuff like that, so
you can just
it's fun, you know, like at least it's cool. And it was nice to meet up with everybody, and I'm glad we got to do it, and I'm glad I get to go to the Stanley Cup.
Gosh.
Ooh, James.
Game one. Exciting game one. You know? This, it all hinges on this,
you
no?
You keep talking shit, and I have a feeling I might be sending you a picture from game two.
Whoa, he never comes back. Don't fucking tempt me with a good time. Stay out there. What's the degree we got out there? How hot do we got
it's
out
reaping,
there?
It's reaching triple didge.
Sure, have fun.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
It's reaching triple didge this week. Boy, I forget because we haven't been, what was it? When was the last time we were in Vegas in the summer?
Holy shit. It must have been some
concert. I know because after the show, or after...
Oh my God, yes.
The movie. It was after the movie. We had a layover there in...
Yes.
We were doing Drinking Bros Live, the Shaved Eagle Tour movie. And we went and saw Mumford & Sons in Vegas. And it was like 5 million degrees. I think I was out on my feet at like 1:30 roaming through Shake Shack.
Oh, yes. Well, you had a little...
Well, look, I had lots to drink. Obviously, I was directing a movie, too, so...
Yeah, but the heat...
It was the day after. Yeah, the heat was so blinding.
And
I think I lost my vision at one point. And this was at 12:30 at night.
Yeah, and you don't have time to acclimate, because you just fly in.
No.
We did a whirlwind trip, so it's just like flying in to the heat. For that day, it was just like, oh, holy shit.
And the show was incredible. But it was inside. It was air conditioned. It was nice. And then it's one of those Vegas moments where you're like, we're just a couple hotels down. No bigs. We'll walk it. No.
Amateur move, you guys. Everybody knows that.
That
it doesn't matter.
A mirage in the desert where you're never actually a couple hotels down. And if you are, it's about a 2-mile walk where you're just like, oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, funny enough, never stayed at the Mirage. But, you know, everything never stayed at the Mirage, but everything's a Mirage. And I used to make that amateur move back in the day.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, it's nope. Right there.
No, don't do it.
That's how the streets get filled with bodies.
Yeah.
Every summer.
Yep.
And it happens.
Oh, yeah. People, there's a lot of heat deaths. Yeah.
For
you,
sure.
You lived out there for a stretch.
I did. I don't want to brag.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't.
I don't want to brag, but I was a bartender in Vegas for a second.
Yeah, you were, James.
And
stripper, on the strip or not on the strip?
Stripper what?
No, on the strip or not on the strip?
On the strip.
Okay.
At the NASCAR Cafe and Bar.
I love their whole motif.
Yes, used to be in the Sahara. Since blown the fuck up. Remember that side?
Yeah.
The golden, no. The Nugget?
Yeah.
I think it was just straight up The Nugget.
They've been blowing up the old hotels and replacing them. And then they show the footage and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Oh yeah.
Oddly enough, I was just looking up, I had to book reservations for tomorrow for the hotel. It was a last minute thing. We're doing a show for Drinking Bros with the Golden Knights and our first sponsor, Black Rifle Coffee, who is a sponsor of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So we're doing some fun stuff with them in Vegas this week. Last minute trip, and I go to book a hotel room, and it was $83 at New York.
Heyo.
And I'm like, what is happening here? And it's like, oh yeah, it's the day after Labor Day, and everyone is gone, and it's 106 degrees. No one's in Vegas. You can get a suite for like 150 there. Just ball out hard. New York is right behind the arena where the Vegas Knights play. I don't want that mirage, which is why I booked right.
Yards
from it, so that way I don't have to deal with that.
Even
that shit.
If it was across the street, it would be too far. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, you have to book. I mean, yeah, I would have brought a tent and just stayed in the arena, but yeah, like,
yeah,
that's close enough.
I remember last time we went, because the only other hotel that is right across from the arena is the Monte Carlo. And remember last time we went, that was the only hotel we could get for that night. And we had to stay there. And they were like, oh, no, it's great. They've redone it. No, they haven't.
Here's the deal with the Monte Carlo.
There was Syrian refugees lined. Yes. There was probably like 300 or 400 in the lobby sitting on suitcases, like playing drums. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I was scared a little bit for my life. But that's just my, you know, my little bit of racism. Latent racism.
It's not at all. It was weird. Like, I didn't know what was
going
on.
I didn't know what kind of convention was going on and if anybody was,
It felt like a bunch of displaced people, immigrants, which we're going to get to later.
That were
going to
live there.
Yeah.
Okay, because here's the deal with the Monte Carlo. They've got big plans, but none of them have been completed, right? So it's like, there's going to be like this amazing restaurant. There's going to be this huge, this wing
One
of
day.
Like all breweries and da da da. And so when you're booking, they've got it up as if it's all done. But then you get there and it's like coming.
Not
2020.
Even close.
Yep. Yeah. And you're not like, even close. Oh my God, I'm staying in a construction zone with a bunch of like pictures
that's,
of
that's
what it's going to be. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because a lot of hotels are doing that to try to keep up with the Joneses and remodel and do all that shit. Planet Hollywood's done a really good job of it.
Their remodel,
remember all the rooms are nice. There's a mall now inside. Like, it's great. I enjoyed it there. New York is always steady for me, where it's like, all right, great. Bunch of restaurants, nine fighting Irishmen's in there, the bar,
your
like
fave.
A couple good bars.
Yeah.
And a lot of food options. So I feel all right about it. I feel all right about it. But let's get to the sponsor, shall we? First and foremost, talking about blackriflecoffee.com. Yes, kids, they are a sponsor of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Some of the finest coffee on the planet. Not only are they my best friends that own the goddamn place, but they're all veterans. So on this Memorial Day, it's nice to support some veteran-owned companies, and we have quite a few of them as our sponsors. And Black Rifle Coffee is second to none when it comes to helping others out. And they're doing a buy one, get one on bags of coffee right now. If you buy one, get one. You get one for yourself and then one goes to the troops. And that's legit, by the way. That's 100% true. I can personally attest to that. They did this over Christmas with 10,000 pounds of coffee shipped to overseas to soldiers deployed. And all you had to do was write in, and they did it. They completed all 10,000 pounds, I think about a week early too, man. So they were always doing great shit. I love their company. Their coffee is amazing. Sign up for their coffee club of the month club. They got bags, they got K-cups, and a bunch of amazing blends. And they've also got the best apparel in the biz. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Type in the one-time promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off at blackriflecoffee.com. One-time promo code REVOLUTION, 20% off. Next up, we've got strikeforceenergy.com.
Boom, 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 boom. Bazoinker.
Oh, James.
No?
Oh, James.
What is it?
There's going to be a lot of Morgan Freeman on the show, by the way.
Oh, of course.
Bazoinkers.
Bazoinkers. I'm sorry. I never remember that one.
StrikeForceEnergy.com is, well, you know what they are. You can kick the can, kids. They're the energy drink of the future. If you thought Dippin' Dots was the ice cream of the future, congratulations. Congratulations.
Still fine.
Now they always say congratulations. Strikeforce Energy is the energy drink of the future. We're talking about four amazing flavors. A ridge for that bush. Lemon, orange, and make America grape again. They got a 10-pack, a 40-pack, a 750-milliliter bottle. They also have a subscription of the month club. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com and get yourself a tasty, tiny little tin pouch full of energy that you rip open and squeeze into every liquid available. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. That's good every time. Ooh, REVOLUTION, 20% off, good every time. Next up, we've got, Oh, James. StraightRazors.com.
That's a clean cut. Smooth. You like it?
Oh, God. God.
Don't check to see if the podcast's turned off.
You stopped wearing headphones tonight, and now I know why. You didn't even want to hear the sound of your own Asian voice saying, you like
it? You like it? Deb, take it away. I put your picture away.
StraightRazors.com is for real men and Debs alike.
Dude.
Get yourself a shaving kit for this Father's Day. This is something to say, hey, Dad, guess what? I love you. Sorry, but I've blown you off all year. But I love you today. StraightRazors.com, they got beard oils, mustache waxes, conditioners, shampoos, you fucking name it. Everything to be a real man. And their straight razors are, they'll give you the cleanest, smoothest shave on the planet. If you're worried about it, they got a safety razor. That's just like your normal fucking shaver. And these goddamn blades last forever, which is great. You never have to really replace them. Go to StraightRazors.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. And look, try their aftershave. Just try the smolder. If it's not the greatest fucking aftershave you've ever had in your life, I'll fucking punch you right in the gooch. I'll punch you right in the fucking gooch. Go to straightrazors.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Last but not least, we're talking about the Kayu app. That's K-A-Y-U. This is another one. This is two Green Berets out of Fort Bragg. On Memorial Day, download their app. It's fucking free. It's on iPhones, Androids, Sidekicks, Blueberries. Probably not on a blueberry, but...
a blueberry?
A blueberries. With social media going down in flint. Whatever. Man, blueberry, blackberry, his berry, her berry. I don't give a shit whose berry. Oh, God.
Your blueberry.
Go to the Kayu app in your app store and just download it for free. Social media combines travel, lodging, partying all together. You can view humans, rate humans, and go on trips with humans. Get wet with humans and get your beak sweats with humans. That's KYU. Do it now. While you're at it, while you're on the interwebs, download my book, When Darkness Falls. He doesn't catch it. Pre-order that hardback on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com right now. Giving you an update. We're 2,600 copies away from the bestseller list. We're getting close, kids. We're getting real goddamn close, but I need your help. Please go out and buy this fine piece of literature. I also just locked down one of the most shocking inserts ever into a book, photograph-wise. I'm not going to say who it is. I'm going to let that be a surprise when that shows up at your doorstep. And there's a way around it on like all of these sites so that you don't have to reveal like the inside of it. So you're not going to know who's in this until you order it and it shows up at your house. But it's amazing. Please go check out When Darkness Falls, He Doesn't Catch It. It's a sequel to A Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed. Gotta hit that list, dude. Gotta hit that fucking New York Times bestseller list. And with that, we're gonna start the show with Chrissy Teigen.
Oh God, she's so funny.
Speaking of New York Times bestsellers, you know she is a fucking technically a New York Times bestselling author.
What, with a cookbook?
That and something else, and it's just like, oh god,
a ghost written like something.
Yeah. It's all these. By the way, so let's get into it first and foremost. All of these books by celebrities, all of them, except for, I can say with the exception of Tina Fey.
Well, if they're writers like Mindy Kaling, Tina Fey, whatever, BJ Novak, whatever, like they wrote their own book. But anyone else that you're like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
they wrote a book. I can do, like, it's they didn't though.
No, they didn't. So when you like Snooki is a perfect example from Jersey Shore.
Sure,
she technically has 3 New York Times bestselling books. They're just ghosts written by somebody else. Her name and picture goes on it. Blah blah blah. Same with Chrissy Teigen. The reason why I'm bringing up Chrissy Teigen to start this show tonight is she put a fucking tweet out to this New York Times columnist who's won a Pulitzer Prize, by the way. A chick by the name of Maggie Haberman. And I can say chick. We're talking about 2 women. A lot of people are like, oh, you're a misogynist. She put out this tweet.
Think that ship has sailed.
She covers the White House and all this shit. And she was like, if you say lies instead of demonstrable falsehoods, you could shorten up your tweets and make the best of your fucking thing. Blah, blah, blah. And I was just like,
so what did she do?
She was this woman had put out a tweet.
She was telling her how to write. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, what wasn't an attempt at sarcasm, or was it not? I don't know, but it just seems weird to me that you're calling out and like a Pulitzer Prize winning author for shit. And, You're a swimsuit model. Like, you're a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model.
Don't get it twisted. Like, don't be delusional enough to think.
It's crazy to me where it's like, man, you think as a personality, like, you're big. And you're like, I can just fucking, everybody loves me. Everything's great. Everything that I say. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not really the truth.
No.
You have to know that, by the way.
And it's all about staying in your lane.
Yes.
So no Chrissy Teigen's like, following and like people idolize her, but it doesn't cross over into like Pulitzer Prize winning territory or like politics or like, do you know what I mean? Like, you in your lane among like Lena Dunham. Loves her.
Yeah, yeah.
She is just so funny and fierce.
Yeah, yeah.
She just says whatever she wants. She talks about eating bacon. Like, God, dude, she's so funny. She's not funny, you guys.
Moderately funny, but like, no, here's the thing.
It gets heightened by what?
By how hot she is.
By how hot she is.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stock in that.
And the graph on that of like hotness to funny, it all, you know.
And the other thing is, if you look back at it, right? Like, yes, she's hot and she was in Sports Illustrated, right? If she doesn't meet John Legend and he whisk her away to, John Legendry of meeting the Obamas and hanging out with them and playing private concerts and shit. Because once you start hanging out with like presidents and shit, you start to get delusional about who you are and your self-sense of worth, where you're like, man, I'm an important person now. I'm hanging out with presidents and all of these people. And it's like, you married up. Otherwise, you'd just be another model kind of just strolling around out there. Nobody would really give a fuck.
I will say she added a little bit of coolness to John Legend, though, which has afforded him like
100%
a couple things as well.
Yeah.
But yes. And also she is living, right? But she is living in this like nice, when they get these like nice houses on the hill.
Yeah.
They're stuck in this house with
surrounded
whatever.
By the way, a huge wall.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So everything they bitch about Trump, they've got the huge wall. No one can get up there. It's a goddamn fortress up there.
Mm-hmm.
The same way, it's not fine for the rest of America, but it's fine for us, right?
Right. Don't put up those walls. Ours is going to need to be a little higher.
Yeah.
We're actually getting ours extended, but we need you guys to just welcome everyone into your life.
Yeah.
We're also going to go to a little bit more of a private school than we did have.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get delusional, right? Because you're just reading admiration for yourself and like you just read all these amazing things. Maybe she reads shitty things too, but you just sort of, you forget.
If you buy into it though, like that's the thing is like, cause I'll get people, so I wrote back last night, cause I was up and I was watching the game and I just said, man, if I can, there's so many, I mean, I'm getting blown up on Twitter for it. I will say this. She's got a lot of followers.
Oh yes.
A lot of goddamn followers.
People love her.
So I just wrote back. I just said, look, I never thought I'd see the day where a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model calls out a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist over her use of shorthand writing. Fuck it. I'm calling out Buzz Aldrin then. You stepped on the moon like shit, bro. I would have hopped less. And it blew up. And she's got a bunch of social media followers. They were like, she's amazing. And she's hilarious. She's a New York Times best-selling author. And I was like, whoa. So her followers were like, right she there. Can critique her. Dead serious. Her followers were like, she can critique her journalism because she's a New York Times bestselling author to a Pulitzer Prize winner. It was like, whoa. Let's pump the brakes on that. Somebody wrote a cookbook.
She's a best-selling author for bacon wrapped recipes.
Plantains.
Bacon wrap plantains.
Whatever it is. And it's like, no, that one's nuts. That one's not a no-go. I will give you the fact that you made John Legend cooler.
Yeah.
And I'll say, because not once in my life have I heard anybody come up to me and say, oh, man, did you hear that new banger from John Legend?
Yeah, no. Amazing. I don't even know.
I've never had one person come up to me and say, man, you know, I'm going to concert. Like, I'm going to see John Legend in concert tonight, and I am fucking stoked.
Here's where I would be, like, stoked to see John Legend, right?
At a Macy's? On, like, when your kid's getting his picture taken with Santa and he's playing in the background?
No. If I went to, like, somebody's house... Same like New York house party.
Right.
I've like gotten invited to a house that I like shouldn't be invited. Right. Like right. I somehow someone thought that I was like cool enough to go to this thing. And it's like very, it's like awesome wine and very swank. This like awesome penthouse or something. And there's Legend
playing in
their house piano. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I would be like, oh my God, freak out.
Absolutely. Right.
But, and I may even whisper, I wouldn't even buy a ticket. I wouldn't even buy a ticket to this, but God dang, is it, you know what I mean? I would be so stoked because
he was playing inside your house. Yeah.
That's a level of like, holy shit.
I'm not even stoked when I get in an elevator or a CVS and his music is on. Like not one part of me.
No.
I just, God damn it. That guy's a snooze.
A talented snooze. Like I do not deny.
Well, here's the thing. His enormous talent. He's like Kenny G. Like Kenny G is enormously talented. Like he really is. So is Yanni. Like if you're breaking down talent levels.
Oh, but Yanni, we like Yanni.
Kenny G. Yeah. We do not like Yanni. But
I would buy a ticket.
You've lost your mind. Yanni.
Me backstage at Yanni.
G Legend. Yanni G Legend. Same categories. Both look. Are they
Bolton,
talented
you could
people?
Throw
yeah,
in there,
Bolton.
Yeah.
Both, like all of them have talents. They are talented people. Just boring. It's just fucking boring to me.
It's baby snoozing music.
Yeah.
You throw that music on and your baby will just, go right to sleep.
And we talked about him a few weeks ago when he wrote fucking Kanye, that
yes,
personal
yes,
message
yes,
and
yes.
said, brother, you can't fucking show your love for Trump. People are watching you and all this other bullshit. You know what, John Legend? Here's the only thing that really matters because truthfully, no one cares what celebrities think about politics. No one, no real person in America cares what celebrities think about politics. That's part of the delusion that you're living in and every other celebrity is living in.
Yeah, they're one percenters talking about.
Exactly. Talking about who and what people should vote for. And again, we don't do this on the show because I don't give a fuck. I don't care who you vote for. You work hard for your money. Vote however you want. I'm not going to fucking tell you who to vote for. I don't give a shit. I can tell you who I voted for, and that's about it. But don't tell me John Legend or everybody else who to vote for. Don't tell fucking Kanye. Kanye is out here dropping bangers in these streets. A lot of people said, oh, he's crazy on TMZ. It wasn't crazy. Sounded lucid, sounded amazing. The reason why I'm going on this Kanye trip right now is he's putting out 5 albums in a row, back to back to back. And I was like, oh boy, I was super skeptical about this. That's too much music for one man. The first one dropped.
Unless you're Kanye.
I guess. So the first one dropped. He produced the new Pusha T album. Fucking that dropped on Thursday at midnight. Bangers, dude.
Yeah.
Bangers on all over that. I mean, it was Puff Daddy even. And you rarely see Puff Daddy do shit like this. Like, he even made a video into the phone, was just like, this is a classic. Man, I can't believe it. And all of a sudden, magically, everyone forgot about Kanye wearing a MAGA hat and was just focused on the music again. And that's what it's going to keep happening, I have a feeling, because Kanye's album comes out next Friday. And then after that, it's Kanye and Kid Cudi. And then after that, he's doing the Nas album. And you're like, fuck, if it is anything production value wise, like this Pusha T album was, like, I've listened to that goddamn thing like 30 times. And the point is, you just drop bangers, dude. Just if you can drop bangers, then you can talk shit about the world. Nobody gives a fuck. So like John Legend.
True.
If John Legend was dropping Kanye type bangers all the time, maybe people would care about who he's voting for.
Right.
But they don't. They don't because you're not dropping bangers, John.
But we also know, like, they make it really known who they voted for. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, nonstop. It is all political. And again, you're probably asking me, Ross, why the fuck were you in Chrissy Teigen's feed? I'm not in any of these feeds. Whatever algorithm Twitter has me in.
Trying to start fights. Because they want to hear your response, Ross. They go, hey, what do you have to say about this? And they put in your face.
A bunch of the people that listen to this show, who follow me on Twitter, they'll send me screenshots of people who it's like, oh, you liked Ross Patterson's page? You might also like, and it's like Courtney Cox. And,
right.
And they'll send in them, be like, hey, man, did you know you're like paired up with Courtney? And I was like,
what the fuck?
I did a movie with her maybe 12 years ago, but that should not be the person that I don't follow her on Twitter, and it's like that shouldn't be the person who's next to me of like, oh, if you like Ross, you'd like a nice 54-year-old Courtney Cox.
Boring Courtney Cox. Yeah.
No, she's a lovely person. I just we're totally opposite ends of the spectrum.
I don't
so
think
like,
she's crazy, like crazy politics or whatever. I think she's just
I don't
boring
know.
A little bit. You know.
She was married to David Arquette for a long time. And
yeah.
I don't know who he voted for, but I did a movie with him as well. He was crazy interesting.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, just not, that guy doesn't give a fuck about anything.
To that point though, did you hear the like Cardi B's rant about taxes?
No.
She's like, I'm giving 40%
yeah.
of my money.
Yep.
What is this going to?
Yeah.
What I'm telling you, government, what are you doing? You know, just bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
And Shapiro, or Ben,
Ben Shapiro, yeah.
He was just like, he's like, sorry to break it to you, Cardi B, but you're a Republican. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
if you work hard for your money,
yeah,
and you want to keep it,
yeah,
but you voted Democrat because that's what all your friends told you that you needed to do. Do you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now you're coming out, and I think maybe that with Kanye and this, like, maybe more and more is going to start coming out.
It is. I think because if you really break it down, Roseanne has talked about this as well a lot on her feed. Again, someone who I'm not following, but is still on my fucking feed all the time. She always talks about the middle. And I think politics should head more and more towards the middle.
Right.
Take some from the right, take some from the left and kind of mash it in the middle and get what you get there. But the taxes is a big issue on that. And it's like, dude, you think it's all rad to vote Democrat and everybody else is telling you that. What
then
happens
start
is,
making money.
Exactly. You start making money, you start getting rich. And then you realize when you look at your checks, like I'll never forget the look on your face when you opened up like one of my first residual checks in the mailbox. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It appears as if they've taken 40% out of this. And I was like, oh, yeah. They have.
And it's more now. But yeah.
I'm like,
so.
So there's a reason why people are kind of switching to the right and saying, okay, maybe you're all right. And look, people like Cardi B and things like that. Again, when you start coming out and really looking at it, you're like, oh, fuck. I'm losing almost half of my paycheck. And again, where is it going?
Where is it going?
I can tell you where it's going. It's going to shit like today. Like, this has been going on for probably the last 2 weeks in the news. All of these celebrities are talking about children getting ripped away from their parents at the border.
Okay.
Kids are getting separated from their families.
All right.
And it's a law, because what happens is when you get arrested illegally coming into the country with kids, mm-hmm. you can arrest the parents, but then the kids have to go to some, you know, social reform thing or whatever, right. and either wait for the parents to get deported or mm-hmm. or whatever the fuck's going to happen there. But the kids can't go to jail.
Right.
So.
Dang. Yeah,
exactly. But this is a known law.
Sure, sure, sure.
That's been in effect for that's a long time. Why are you taking, like, it, to me?
What do they do with the kids, by the way?
They put them in
into some
shelter, some fucking thing. And here's the thing. As a mom and a dad, if you're putting your children at that kind of risk, fucking illegally hopping over. And by the way, it's only for illegals. So it's not for people who are legally trying to come into the country. Right. It is if you were illegally trying to come into the country, you know you're going to get arrested. You know that.
Yeah.
There is no like open border policy with here or any other country in the United States. Canada, France, everywhere I've been in the world, you've got to check in, show your passport, mm-hmm. 9 forms of shit.
Right.
At no point could I just say, oh, no, but I want to come in. Like,
right, right.
If I illegally cross their border, anybody's border, I'm getting arrested. And that's the thing. If I were to take my child with me and do that, I'm a shitty fucking parent at that point.
Right.
Because I know what I'm doing. These parents know what they're doing. So if you're coming into the country illegally and you're with children, there's a high probability that you're getting arrested and you're going to be separated from your children for a while. So why are you taking that risk? And everybody, all these fucking celebrities, all I keep reading is the last 2 weeks is like, oh, but they fucking, you should do something. We should help them. And no parents should be separated from their children. Why? You're just being a shitty parent. Like, there is nothing wrong with staying in your own country and trying to make a living and then coming in legally.
Right.
Like, that's supposed to be the system in place, not the other way around. Right. So if you're fucking hopping over the border and your children are getting ripped away from you, it's because you're a shitty mom and dad. And I hear I'm trying to hear the other side of the argument and try to understand it, where they're like, no, they're coming in here to make a better life. How? Because you come into this country, you cannot get a job. It's not like you hop into the country and there's a million people with jobs just waiting for you and housing and all that shit. Welcome.
Yeah,
we're going to give you an awesome job and a place to live and all that shit. No, they come in illegally and they immediately go into the welfare system. Cardi B, that's where your taxes are going to. That's where that 40% is going to.
Right.
It's paying for all this welfare and all this shit. So these people can get reassimilated with society and then be on their own. And it's like, dude, that's going to take years and a shit ton of taxpayers' money. And it's all fine and dandy until you actually get the bill at the end of the year on April 15th. And it's like, oh, boy.
Maybe who's actually
paying for it? Yeah. And, the celebrities like fucking Deborah Messing and all these fucking assholes are looking at it like, no child should ever be support. No. Deborah, you've got kids. Would you ever run across somebody's border in another country and take a risk?
You won't even let your kid take the life jacket off on the boat, on the yacht.
You won't even take your kid out of a fucking $35,000 a year private school so they can go to school with the other 83% of Latinos who are learning English grades K through 5 at public schools in Los Angeles, let alone... you would never drop the border or the gate around your fucking house.
They can't cross the street without their nanny.
Yeah, exactly.
Deborah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
So I look at this shit and it's like, is it a sad situation? Like, these pictures are really sad. This situation is sad. But you know what you're doing. Like
anything with kids, it's not like, a hurricane came through and like separated them. It's like something that you did. And I mean,
yeah.
I know that they're living in shit, like squalor there. You know what I mean? In Mexico? If the people that are trying to come over here, yeah. There's people that are fine in Mexico. They're great. They have their house there.
Yeah, you've been to... Company. Yes.
There's fine, but then there are some... people that are just, there's no way to get out of the poverty that they're in.
But we also have that in America. we also have that in our inner cities in America where, you know, again, we watched that documentary on Flint and Detroit and South Side of Chicago. We have our own people, Americans, who are actually in the exact same position in squalor and all that shit. No offense, but this is America. If this money's going anywhere, let's use it to help Americans first. Get everybody back on their feet and working.
Let's get some more cops in Flint, if I've learned anything.
God, cops, teachers, all of this shit.
If I've learned anything, they need more police officers in Flint.
Yes. Like, please. Let's use the money for that, not for, oh my God, the border and these people are coming in from this other shit.
I don't know.
I get the fuck out of here with it, man. Like, we need to be helping out our own American citizens first before helping out the rest of the world. Why are we the world's fucking police?
I guess my thing too is that I don't know enough about how easy or hard it is for them to do it legally. Like, I don't know. So like, I guess I'm just like, is it that hard? The poverty is insane as far as like them trying to get out of it. Right.
In Mexico.
Yeah. In some parts, and these people that are coming over.
In some parts. But again, there is some parts of America that are the same. So
I guess
like
move to like Mexico City. Or
yes.
Something.
Move to a bigger city. Try to make yourself this has happened since the dawn of time. All right, great. Where you are, try to make the best out of your situation. Be prosperous. Live like every country. There's examples of people who have made it in this world, working hard and doing something.
Right.
Why are you so special that you get to come in for free and we need to take care of you and then help you get on your feet to do why? Like, what is it about you? Now, if you're like the selective immigration, if you're a fucking surgeon or a heart surgeon or, you know, a scientist or something, like those are the immigrants you should be inviting in. Somebody that's going to help the country immediately. You can get them jobs immediately.
Right.
And then boom, they'll be on their feet in 2 seconds. Not people you're trying to take care of for the next 10 years so they can get on their feet and build a life here. Like, that we're all just paying for that, which, if you're going to pay for it as an American, we should pay for it for our own fucking people who live here, who are struggling in squalor in these inner cities. Pay it to the fucking police. Pay it to the teachers. Like, let's build better schools and cops and all that shit for America first, not these other fucking countries. It's not, and I don't want to sound heartless, but it's not my fucking country. Like, try to make the best of your own situation in your own country. Like, America is not the fucking answer for everything.
Right.
It just isn't.
Right, because you can be in poverty.
You can be in poverty here.
And even harder to get out of it
here. This is the only country I know, though, where you can just hop the fence and then get government money, like welfare and food and all that shit. Like, fuck, man. Can you imagine hopping into Mexico and asking for free food? It'd be a goddamn street fight.
And also, it's like putting the pictures of the kids and talking about it in that way. Michael Moore does that in like his documentaries, where it's like you show these things and use these very visceral
these images
to make people be like, oh my God, that's not right. But when you really break it down and go, well, they didn't have to be there.
Yeah.
They probably didn't choose to be there. Their parents did. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think it's a cheap way to be like, see, Look what's happening. Welcome everyone. And you're like, no.
It's one of those things where Michael Moore knows exactly what the fuck he's doing.
Right. But it's the same kind of thing. He'll hold up a picture of the kid that died in whatever war by whatever gun. And he's just like, see, this is what happened. Showing the crying mom.
Yeah.
That, you know.
And Michael Moore is worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 million.
He's made it just from doing that.
Yeah, just from these docs. That's his thing. And whatever, he's made a great living out of it. So congratulations on all that shit. But, you know, it's a perfect example. He's from Flint, Michigan. Fucking, you know, he's a piece of shit person and able to make it happen. He's worth $300 or $400 million. Congratulations.
Yeah, somehow got out.
Yeah.
He crossed the border of Flint into where? Detroit or something? What did we say?
I don't know.
Go to Detroit.
Yeah.
You guys go anywhere else.
Go anywhere else but Flint.
Get out of Flint.
Yeah, I know. Oh, boy.
Let's abandon that town.
But again, a piece of shit like Michael Moore made it out and made, you know, $300 or $400 million for himself doing it. It's possible. Anything is really possible if you put your mind to it, as shitty as it sounds, or you're like, all right, great.
Poison water, fucking two cops on duty.
Get out of
there, man.
I know, I can't. I want to just take all the Flint police officers out and give them like giant hugs and just sit down with them and say, hey guys, there's a bus outside. We're all leaving together.
We're taking you 3 miles away to paradise. Do you know what I mean? Like what? Huh?
We
could leave?
We're getting them out of there. We're getting them
out
of there.
You can go.
All those teachers, everybody, let's just leave. That teacher salary is going to be the same anywhere. Just get out of there.
Hey.
Get out of there.
Look at this classroom. You could be teaching these kids for the same amount. Yeah. They'll be like, what?
You could be teaching Deborah Messing's kids.
Yes.
Behind a gated community with fucking actual rainbows, because they've got a guy there. They've got a CGI guy inside the preschool making actual rainbows for the children.
Yes, yes. But Flint's fine. They hired that boy and his ma.
Oh, they did.
They hired that young kid and his old ass mom, and they're good now. So the streets are safe in Flint.
That will make me laugh for 1,000 years, by the way.
When they're practicing in the gym and I see her.
Can't do it. What's that name?
Is she there to just support him? Or?
Tell the audience the name of that documentary. Is it just called Flint?
Flint Town.
Flint Town. Okay, on Netflix. Yeah.
Check it out.
Give it a good look-see. We always go back to that somehow.
It's going to be about episode 3 where you can't take it anymore, right? Nope. Is it 3 or 4?
Ah, boy. It was 1 for me. It was 3 for you. You can really tell like this the heart that someone has by that. Like I have zero heart, and it's just like after one episode, I was like, I don't understand why I just leave. Just drive away.
This is horrible. You know, like how bad it is, and I'll like watch it. Then when I see that old
after the first episode, you looked at me and you're like, "What'd you think?" And I was like, "I'm good on this."
Yeah,
and you were like, "I don't understand."
They need to leave.
They just need to leave.
I can't keep drive going to another down city.
A million cities
them.
Like yeah. that in America. Just go. You made it through 3, the top of 3, and like 15 minutes in with a mom and the kid, and you were like, yep, turn it off.
When they had a couple spots to fill.
Yeah.
In that police, god damn it.
Turn it off. I want to talk about a Rostradamus prediction that came true. Another one. God, I'm an amazing human.
I have one too, but.
Do you really? About me?
No, something that came true, but it's okay.
Mine was the Solo. I've been talking about this for a little over a year now, Han Solo, the Han Solo movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just bitching about it. Like, they didn't cast anybody cool. They're just all nerdy. Han Solo was cool.
Oh, yeah.
And they cast, like, this nerdy guy. I love Donald Glover, but he was wrong for Lando Calrissian, the young Lando Calrissian. Like,
it looks like he may be the only saving grace, but go ahead.
Even then, it's just too dorky, man. You need a fucking pimp-ass dude. And I'll get to somebody who did a great example of it soon, but it bombed. It bombed this weekend. Yeah, and everybody's
really pushing that shit too over everything.
Dude, the Solo cups. I'm dead serious. Did you see that campaign?
No.
For Solo cups for Memorial Day weekend, they changed it to Solo and then a Star Wars series. And it was like brilliant advertising. It was
really brilliant.
Yeah, really good. And they tried everything with that fucking movie.
They knew.
And they, not only did they know, but if you notice, they cut that guy, the guy who was playing Han Solo, out of the trailer. You never heard him talk really in the trailer.
You never really see him. He's in the dark the whole time and you don't hear him talk.
It was just a bad choice all the way around of all these dorky things, dorky people playing cool. You're supposed to be fucking cool and they're not doing that. And now they're doing a Boba Fett movie spinoff. And it's just, I'm dead serious. And you're like, oh, boy. So the questions came up inevitably of what happened and why. What happened and why. Thing is, when you're grinding out 30 fucking Star Wars movies a year now, just a lot like these superhero movies to try to make money, there's a fatigue on the audience, man, where you're just like, all right. Because a lot of people, like the diehard fans, have been like, hey, man, we didn't like any of these new goddamn movies. So we're done with
That's
the Solo
how I
thing
feel.
And everything
yeah.
else. Like, I haven't heard anybody too juiced off about it and about the Star Wars movies. It's a lot of excuses from the fans of like, oh, no, they'll get it right. Or they're in this dispute with Lucas or whatever. It's not. Here's the real answer on all of this shit. I've said it once. I'll say it one more time for you. Disney paid $5 billion for this franchise with a B. They've got to make that money back. Therefore, they're going to chunk out these fucking Star Wars movies as fast as they can. And they've already set dates, release dates, from when they're coming out for the shareholders. So the shareholders of Disney know when these dates are coming out. It makes their stock more attractive to buy. However, that does not give you enough time to write a great script. That's going to cut down on the writing time, and all the fucking CGI effects that go into these goddamn movies takes a long time in post-production. You're really pressed up against it to try to put out a great quality film because there isn't enough time, because the next one is coming out now, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. They're trying to recoup this money as fast as they can. Therefore, their stocks and their shareholders, everybody will be happy. However, the fans are not going to be happy because it's not enough time at the fans' expense for them to make these projects great. So they're all just kind of mediocre. This is going to keep happening. You know, the ones that are able to take their time, like Deadpool is crushing right now. The first one was pretty good. The second one everybody loves. And it's like they spent enough time and said, hey, let's get the movie right. And then we'll figure it out later of what's going to shake out. Not with these Star Wars movies. These dates are already set in stone. For Christmas, for the last one came out at Christmas, for Memorial Day, like, and then, you know, with this one, they fired the directors, brought in Ron Howard. They got that kid an acting coach. It's going to be a nightmare, just a nightmare. And to me, you know, if you look at the simple formula of what's going on in today's world, like this Boba Fett thing that just got announced, it's a female driven fucking world right now in Hollywood. Why not capitalize on that? And instead of doing Boba Fett, just look at the numbers for Wonder Woman. It crushed. It absolutely crushed. Do a Princess Leia movie. Like, the chick who's playing Leia is fucking dope. Like, just do that.
Yeah.
Do that movie. But no, they're just going to go with Boba Fett, the guy who had a, I don't know anything. Like,
I don't know.
What are we doing? What are we doing anymore? I don't either. And it's like, I gave up after the last... You know, the ones with Jar Jar Binks and shit like that. I haven't seen one since. I can't go back there anymore. Yeah, so I think these Star Wars movies are just kind of running out of gas here at this point. I did see an interesting trailer pop up the other day called Tag that I wanted to talk about. This story and this, because when you see the trailer, by the way, for a movie called Tag, it is exactly what you think it is, where it's adults playing tag against one another. When you watch the trailer, it says based on a true story. It is.
Yeah.
It is. And I remember this project. This has been around in Hollywood for
Remember it. It's been
I want to really say 15 years. Yeah. Like something crazy like this where I forget what magazine it was. Don't quote me on this, but I want to say it was like a GQ or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like a Vanity Fair where it talked about these childhood friends who've been playing tag their entire life. And like this one guy was it for like, I don't know, 8 or 10 years or something like that. And like he went into like a deep depression and like, I mean, it got fucking dark, this article, and somebody optioned it in Hollywood to make it into a movie. It's been through like 9 million iterations. If I remember correctly, back in the day, I want to say it was Ralston Thurber, who was coming off of Dodgeball, who had found this project or either worked on it. I don't know if he's doing this or whatever, but when I saw the trailer finally pop up, I was like, oh my God, finally, after all these years, this movie's getting made. And like, I hope, without seeing it, it goes into the dark side of this where there's like a depression element of it, because it's just like, man. And the one guy has never been tagged in like 30 years, like out of their friends, and they're adults. Like they've been doing it since they were young all the way up until, you know, 40s, 50s. And I don't know which direction they decided to take with it. Right. But one guy has never been it for like 30 years. And like they've been planning these elaborate, like his friends have been planning like elaborate trips and things like that. And like he somehow knows he'll avoid them. He wouldn't go on vacations with them. Like, and it gets dark in this article. And I was like, shit. And I remember reading the article and I was like, fuck.
It looks like they're going a hangover route to where it's one of their weddings. The wife is like, don't you know, like you guys need to turn it off for like one day so that they all have to be in one place. And like the wife is like, no tag.
Gotcha.
Obviously that's, you know,
yeah.
hijinks are going to ensue.
Sure, sure.
But I think it looks a little bit funny, but, you know, you never know with trailers these days. They'll couch them as one thing, and then you're like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, it'll be a totally depressing movie that they made look like a comedy.
But this is why I'm curious about this. Is like, I remember reading this original article, and when this article got optioned to become a movie, and I was like, man, if you go down that dark road, it could be interesting. We'll see what happens with it, though. That was one that I was kind of looking forward to. I was like, good for them. They finally got it made. Yeah, kind of like Cock Blockers with my buddies. And I was just like, oh, finally got made.
I know. It's always a feat. You're just like, dang. Yeah. And to have something be around for that long and people not be like, you know, and it not be dated, to have it be something that can still hold up.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? So that's the other thing is like those scripts have to get changed so much over time.
So much.
If they're sitting.
A million writers and.
Different names. They like attach different things. And it's just like, it just seems like that's the hardest thing to do.
Oh, yeah. And the other one, it was the Queen trailer dropped for the movie
Excited
Queen.
About that.
Same. And I thought, I wanted to see the other movie. With Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yes.
That was going to be dark and fucking super edgy. Like, I was beyond amped for that.
Yes.
And when they said, no, we're going to tell the story of Queen rather than just Freddie Mercury's story. And because the band kiboshed that Sacha Baron Cohen movie. And I was pissed off about it. And then they hired Mr. Robot to play Freddie Mercury. And look, I saw the trailer and I'm in. It hooked me. It was a great trailer. Yep. They put all the hits in there, and there's some shots in there where you're like, fuck, he really looks like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give that one a go. I was down on that project before, but it actually looks pretty fun. And I'm a musical, obviously a rock doc guy. Like, I love musical documentaries, but I also love those biopic pictures where it's like Walk the Line is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Ray is one of my favorites. Fucking love Ray. I just big fan of Ray. Like I fucking...
I could have done without the brother dying. Who does that joke? I forget. But like,
I don't know.
When you critique like real bio,
yeah,
like, no, that just happened in his life.
That was actually
that
in
was
his
just
life.
His life. Yep. I know, it's not like a part they chose to put in. Yeah.
But I like those. This looks like this has the same look and feel as one of those where it's just like, all right, cool. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in for the Queen movie. I'm in for the Queen movie.
So my Rostradamus, I really don't like to gloat or push things in your face.
Sure.
But you know, North Korea, we'll see.
Oh. Ah. Ah. Did you hear what happened last night?
It's a no or a go?
It's a go as of last night.
Okay.
So Kim Jong-unger got together with Moon again last night, and they're now it's back on. So we'll see. We're still seeing.
Okay.
But they were hugging last night on social media. I was like, whoa, okay. Is this back on or is this back off?
Okay.
I don't know.
It
was off. But it's back on. It's still it's a coin toss now. It's a coin toss now.
But the we'll see makes a little bit more sense now.
Yes.
Because.
Yeah, you look, you definitely.
We really don't know what the hell is going to happen.
You won the we'll see. You won the we'll see. So we will see.
That's not a win.
We will see. Oh, we will see. And last but not least, I want to talk about this Morgan Freeman thing. I mentioned it briefly. I made a Freeman Friday about it, about the Me Too thing.
Had to.
So we got popped. He got popped for it. Look, I feel like we all did as a male species at this point. Cause I went back and read it, read the allegations, read the whys and the hows of it and all that shit. Like, I have a hard time with people lumping him into the same category with like a Harvey Weinstein or whatever. Yeah, he was hitting on women, maybe saying some filthy shit here and there, but like, that's kind of all dudes at some point. And it's like, man,
you're not even allowed to be a creepy old man anymore.
He's 80.
It's sad.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, 80 year old men, like, that's, you know, they're about to die. That's it. If they're gonna grab an ass cheek or, you know,
I'm sorry,
tell
but
them
that
their tits look
that
beautiful.
Video that you put up,
right?
You know, if that's an example of it,
it was one of them. Yes. And that's what they were using.
Straight up flirting.
Yeah.
It was a flirting, like,
yes,
an old man, you know, and talking about her taking it, her, oh, you like it? I think at some point she said you like that.
Yeah. And with these press junkets, I know we did a show about this where I, you know, I got to go behind the scenes with my friend Andrea and see that world. You have 8 minutes with all of these celebrities for these press junkets for movies in a room. Most of them are like flirty, upbeat, whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's fucking 8 a.m. You're at the Ritz-Carlton. You're stuck in a room all day. Not that, you know, you're trying to cross a border or something fucking life-threatening like that. But for the actor, whoever it is, you're just sitting underneath these heat lights. You're running through 8 hours worth of interviews. Everybody's got 8 minutes apiece. You're trying to make some form of impression to get them in a good mood, get them chatty or whatever. Most of these women are flirting with these fucking dudes just to get some fun interviews and some awesome sound bites so they can take it back to their news.
Flirty.
Yes, and it's always been like that for fucking ever.
But if it's like some
now.
Young guy, or if you're talking about George Clooney, or they're talking about, you know, it's always flirty, but it's just a matter of like who it is. And
that's
looking
it.
Back on it, how it made you feel. So at the time, fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure they were just like, fine, I flirted a little bit with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
And then you were saying that the girl that started the thing.
The woman who cracked this story, if you want to put that in air quotes, was from CNN, who the worst news network on the planet. She had a bad experience with him. She got hit on or... He said something, asked her about if she was wearing underwear or something or whatever.
And I think it's coming with that voice. It's very jarring to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Are you wearing panties?
Right. So you're like, panties? Oh, I'm not used to that. Like your Morgan Freeman voice that's supposed to soothe me.
The
I'm not used to it talking about my breasts. Right. So it's very jarring.
Oh, those are supple breasts.
Sure.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh no, show me them titties. There we go.
Oh, you like it?
Oh,
I mean,
oh, you know I do like it. I'm 80 years old and I love some titties. If you're hearing that as Morgan Freeman hitting on you,
it would be
probably pretty jarring because it's the voice of God. However,
sure, but
he's still a
everywhere.
Human. Yeah,
there's other people in the room. You're not
totally.
I don't know if there's any. Maybe some
so
stories
this,
will come out. But.
This woman went on a crusade and called up everybody who's worked with Morgan Freeman and found these 8 other people who were offended by what he'd said to them or blah blah blah. Again, no rape, no fucking. He wasn't fingering anybody. He wasn't doing like crazy
propositioning.
Shit.
Propositioning. There's nothing like behind closed doors that anyone came out with.
So I just, again, man, because now you just killed a career. That's like for this. And this is going to keep happening. And it's everybody's got some fucking axe to grind. And it's like, look, congratulations. You can look into any man's past, mm-hmm. any man's past, and find them either in a bad date, a bad sexual experience, or you hit on somebody improperly. You might have said something improper to somebody. Like, you can find that in every dude on the planet at some point in their life. Unless you're being raped or pinned down or fucking stuck in a situation like...
And, yeah. And what's scary is the retroactive persecution. So it's like something that is, you know, is like just now unacceptable. You know, you need to start judging that from now on. Do you know what I mean? The retroactive of like, oh, well, it's illegal right now. So let's go back to all the times when it wasn't.
Right,
do you know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
or something
right.
like that. And like persecute all those people that were doing it. So that's a scary place to be when you're just like, as a man, like I heard somebody talking about it where they're just like, we don't know what's going to become unacceptable in like, let's say 5 years, and something that we've done right now is like not going to be acceptable then.
Yeah.
That we're now going to be persecuted. You're just like, what the fuck? Like, what do I do? You know what I mean? Like, is it going to become like,
I don't know. And I can,
you're going to get your career ruined because you said one thing to somebody or whatever.
Yep.
And like,
and I can tell you little by little in Hollywood right now, it is one of those things where like relationships between men and women are changing so fast because you're afraid to, say anything. You're afraid to say the wrong thing to somebody. So it's becoming very cold,
no
calculated.
No,
oh yeah. It's a lot of fist bumps, and it was nice to meet you and move on about your day.
Keep your eyes up here.
Yeah.
Don't compliment the dress that I wanted you to compliment, actually. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I...
It's getting worse and worse and worse, and like, you read this and you're like, fuck, man, the guy's 80. Like, I don't, you know... he's got his own shit in his past and whatever. But you know, if this is what we're doing now, no one's safe, and congratulations. It's going to happen to all of us eventually, because there's going to be somebody from your past who's just like, I didn't enjoy whatever experience we had or whatever the fuck that is.
That's, and they're going to come out and say, like, it. Be careful now, because you don't know in the future what's not going to be acceptable. And then who's going to dig back into your shit.
I guess, but how do you live your life like that? I don't know. Either way, we're going to get to the revolutionary figure of the day, shall we?
We shall.
The revolutionary figure of the day. I'm going to throw this old school. I'm going to throw this out to Willis Reed. The top game seven of all time to me was by Willis Reed in 1970. I know what you're saying, Ross. You weren't alive during that. No, but this game has been replayed 1,000 times over and over again. He had a muscle tear in his right thigh and came out, hobbled onto the floor, limping, and put on one of the most amazing performances ever. And they ended up winning. The New York Knicks ended up beating the Los Angeles Lakers. And to this day, that guy able to do that was arguably the greatest. To me, game seven of all time. Some people say it was the Cavaliers versus the Warriors a couple years ago. Not a fucking prayer. The reason I'm saying this guy right now in this moment is Chris Paul just tore his hamstring, who's having the series of his life for the Houston Rockets. Couldn't play. He's out, missed game six, and is most likely to miss game seven. This motherfucker made it in game seven and killed it and won the title for his city. That's the way it should be. So with all these game sevens tonight and tomorrow, I am looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing who the new heroes are. And we got a big week of sports ahead of us. I'm super stoked about it. And I'm super stoked to be going to Las Vegas, Japes.
Game one. Ooh. Who was the best game? No, sure.
Who was the best game one of your entire life? James.
The cheap tickets.
The dream killer. Dream killer.
The boner killer.
Yep. Deb's the boner killer. Jabel's the dream killer.
Yep. I love me a game one. Ooh, you get to stretch out. Don't you got a lot of room in that stadium? I get about 3-4 seats to myself.
No, those tickets are...
No, I know. Fuck. They're actually crazy.
Crazy expensive. Like I think the nosebleed seats are going for like $2,000 a piece. Like getting tickets to like a Super Bowl or like a Stanley Cup and shit, that's fucking impossible. Luckily, we got a cool job. So,
yep.
I'm not paying for these goddamn tickets. I can tell you that much right now. Mm-hmm. They're just being slid across the table in a Parisian cafe to the big guy. So, that's not true. Actually, I might. They might. I might meet them at like the Paris.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm sure. At
What's that restaurant? Mon Ami.
Yeah, Mon Ami Gabby.
Somebody shows up in a trench coat.
Yes, yes.
Meet me in front of the Eiffel Tower. I've got tickets for you for the Stanley Cup Finals.
The snow is cold in the winter, and you're.
Oui.
What is your response to make sure you're the guy?
What's we? Obviously, because it's French for yes.
Oh, so it's just we?
Just we.
Gosh, just anyone we. Could.
Ah, you're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. For Jesse Wiseman, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.